This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The first casualty of war is the truth. And if the American people knew the truth about U.S. interference in Ukraine, they might not be so eager to start World War III. During World War II, Western Ukraine sided with the Nazis. After the war, the CIA helped Ukrainian Nazis evade the Nuremberg trials and began operating with them within the Ukraine. After decades of CIA infiltration, the Ukrainian People's Movement emerged in 1989 and gave birth to extremist groups Svoboda, Trident, and Right Sector. Neo-Nazi groups pushing for the ethnic cleansing of Ukraine. Extremist groups cultivated by the CIA, supported by the U.S. State Department, and used by the IMF to bring Ukraine to heel. When Yanukovych beat NATO-backed Yushchenko in the 2010 elections, his government was being pressured into signing an EU association agreement by the International Monetary Fund in their typical conquer-by-debt offer that would financially ruin the Ukraine and place them at the mercy of the World Bank. Yanukovych declined their offer. And in today's corrupt world, you're not allowed to say no to the IMF. Funded by Western NGOs associated with George Soros and the CIA, a highly organized color revolution was immediately deployed against Yanukovych. Organizations such as the National Endowment for Democracy trained activist journalists to utilize Facebook, along with three brand new television networks created within weeks to recruit people for the protests. This Western-run media campaign was a huge success. The turnout was massive. The CIA has been orchestrating revolutions their entire career, and the first step to their simple formula is to convince people to take to the streets in peaceful protest. They then use agitators to goad the police into violence, and state-run media to ignite the crowd with emotionally charged reports of sacred victims. On November 30th, 2013, the Ukrainian chief of staff, associated closely with the U.S. State Department, ordered the streets to be cleared of protesters for the erection of the annual Christmas tree. When the police arrived, they were met by a highly aggressive and well-organized faction of Ukraine's Right Sector, who provoked the police into a violent reaction against peaceful protesters, which is all the Western intelligence media reported on. Predictably, this resulted in more unrest and violence, which was further fueled by U.S. Senator John McCain's support of the protests. Leaked phone calls reveal that the U.S. State Department was orchestrating this coup d'etat from within the U.S. Embassy, with support from Vice President Joe Biden. On February 20th, unidentified snipers firing from government buildings occupied by the protesters began firing into the crowd, killing people on all sides. Yanukovych's home and offices were taken by armed mobs, and a new government was put into place with a neo-Nazi element that went on to accept the IMF's spurious loan offer and began murdering the Russian-speaking population of Ukraine in Donbass. As a result of this Western-created quagmire, 96% of the people in Crimea voted in favor of joining Russia. And while the nation celebrated, Western media reported that they were invaded by Russia. Their proof? A Russian military presence, which has existed there since 1804. Supporting a criminal war against Russia does not make you a patriot. It makes you a useful idiot of the globalist banking cartel. The very same entities waging war on all of humanity with vaccine passports and experimental jabs. A righteous patriot would call out his government for war crimes. And through fraud and deceit, the United States government has been the world's biggest purveyor of war crimes for decades. All in the name of spreading McDonald's, genetically modified foods, and sexual perversions worldwide. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
here with a very simple proposal for all our great InfoWars listeners and viewers. If you will simply get X3 with all three types of good iodine that boosts your immune system and help everything that goes on in your body at the cellular level, it will change your life. It will invigorate you. It will empower you. Almost everyone has iodine deficiency. Look into it for yourself. It's the opposite of fluoride. It's the good halogen. And then your purchase of X3 funds our operation. Now, a lot of our products have been sold out and never came back in because of the lockdowns and supply chain breakdowns. We were sold out of X3 for a long time. And I had it on sale for 50% off, and a lot of folks were getting it. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to bring it back on sale again just until it sells out. Because even though we won't make as much money in the long run, a lot of folks need this product, and we need to get the money from the sales in now to stay on air. So your X3 right now at 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You head over to my YouTube channel. You'll notice that I did a recent lecture last night breaking down the wider setting for this Ukraine crisis that's going on. And I want to get into that today, kind of condense that a little bit, because a lot of people don't know the real reason for this, the historical setting for this conflict, and how it ultimately ties into the long-term global elite strategy, the technocratic plan, and the idea of creating, as we said, a Skynet-style one-world government where masses are depopulated. How would this Ukraine situation fit into that? Well, let's get into that. Let's go back a little bit and recall when we discussed in our Tragedy and Hope lectures, right, by Dr. Carol Quigley, the famous historian and archivist for the Council on Foreign Relations, the mentor to Bill Clinton. In Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley summarized his 1,300-page tome by saying that the goal of the 20th century for the Western Anglo-American establishment elites was to knock out their two rivals. Those two rivals were the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Russian Empire. And when those two rivals were basically exhausted, depleted, and destroyed from warfare, the Anglo-American establishment could step forward as the preeminent sole world power. Now, this is not the United States. This is the United States co-opted by an inner clique of British Royal Society elites, a.k.a. the Royal Institute for International Affairs, following that Cecil Rhodes, John Ruskin model of a world Fabian socialist government. And so the plan that they had to retake America was to send a bunch of British spies over in the 40s and to get the American establishment on board with the British Empire, the fading, waning British Empire's foreign entanglements and world control. And this led to the Pax Americana. The Pax Americana was really, as we said, manufactured or sort of co-op. It was a coup, you could say, on the part of people like Ian Fleming, William Stevenson, on the part of people like Noel Coward to influence the government in the U.S., FDR, et cetera, to get involved in these conflicts. And this leads to not just World War II, but also to the Cold War. And so you can see on the part of the elites of the West, they have a strategy to utilize the engine of America to bring the rest of the world under a kind of global government. Now, when they were promoting this in the last century, right, they promoted it as the idea of a democratic, capitalist, liberal world order. So we have to go back to the ideology that comes out of the Enlightenment, the classical liberal order, and point out that while there were some good elements in the classical liberal order, the problem is that just like its communist opponent that comes out of that same Enlightenment philosophy, you get two kind of schools of thought, you could say, a revolutionary philosophy that comes out of the French Revolution. You get the Jacobins and you get the Girondins. And both sides of this philosophy are part of a similar dialectic. Not saying that everybody was evil that had the revolutionary philosophy. We know that the American founding fathers definitely had a better approach than the Jacobins, who were very extreme. You know, that led to a radical form of communism that murdered tens of thousands of people in France, for example. But the American order also had a revolutionary impetus. And in my view, it's a mix of ideas. You have good ideas from Christianity, from Mosaic law, biblical law, but you also have a revolutionary impetus as well. So I think in the history of America, you have kind of an internal struggle throughout her history to figure out whether she wants to go in the path of something more Christian or something that's more revolutionary and more controlling. And so where America would go, right, would be dependent upon who would control the country. And in the 20th century, according to Quigley, you have pretty much the rise and complete dominance of America by the oligarchs and the robber barons. And these robber barons and these oligarchs that ended up controlling America, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, the Carnegies, these families, Vanderbilt, et cetera, they end up aligning themselves with this elite British clique that I'm talking about. And that's why you have the establishment of Pratt House. You have the establishment of Council on Foreign Relations. You have the establishment of Trilateral Commission. All of these are entities mirroring the roundtable groups out of the English clique that we're talking about here. The Lords of London, Lord Curtis, Lord Balfour, Lord Rothschild, Cecil Rhodes, et cetera. They're all aligned with the American Eastern Seaboard elite. And that is what will be the locus of power for the Anglo-American establishment, or sometimes called the Atlanticist power block. And unfortunately, they were successful in winning those two wars and kicking off that Cold War. I'm not saying that the other powers were the good guys and we're the bad guys. I'm saying the reason it's unfortunate is because this is the preparation for a kind of global government that's going to be that we're going into now. This is a 100-plus-year-old plan by these same people, and that's why there's such a powerful continuity of agenda to what we read in people like Bertrand Russell and Lord Birkenhead and H.G. Wells and all these guys writing 120 years ago, right? The exact same plan is coming in right now. So how do we want to situate the Ukraine situation in this global crisis, 20th century world war scenario? If we understand the Cold War as a kind of third world war, then we will understand the Ukraine scenario, because Ukraine as a crisis comes out of the Cold War. So remember that the imperial model of the West is one that is cloaked as non-imperial. Freedom, democracy, it wears a vesture, it wears a cloak, a vestment of human rights and democracy. But in reality, it is a shadow government, as Bernays said. Democracy is always run by a shadow, invisible elite, Bernays said. That is a kind of secret security establishment, a shadow government run by very powerful banking families and industrialist families. And they want to see a technocratic global government that is the Malthusian philosophy from several hundred years ago, right? The Anglican minister Thomas Malthus, who aligned his philosophy with Darwinianism. Darwinian philosophy being not a scientific theory, properly speaking. It has elements of a scientific theory, but it's also a grand narrative philosophy. So uniting that philosophy of Darwinism, materialism and flux and process with the idea of pragmatism from America, you get a pragmatic Anglo-empiricist philosophy. And by empiricism, I just mean pure raw matter and sense data. That's all there is. There's no higher principles. There's no higher things that we are subject to. There's nothing transcendent. It's just matter in motion. And in fact, dialectical materialism, the philosophy of most of the Marxists, or historical materialism of some of the other Marxists, the Soviet bloc, it's another analog. It's just part of that same type of system. So it doesn't matter whether it's capitalist monopoly capitalism based on atheistic dialectical materialism, or whether it's the philosophy of Marxism and collectivism, which is also based on a kind of dialectical materialism and process philosophy. Both of these are flip sides of the same atheistic materialist coin. And Quigley even speaks of this in Tragedy and Hope, where he says that the two world wars and the Cold War aren't just about getting rid of rivals to the West. It's also about getting rid of the ideological clash, the ideological problem that the Western degenerate elites have with any other potential rival system that could emerge that could have any kind of reference to a higher transcendent principle. And so it must, of necessity, go after and knock out any worldview, any system, any leader that could potentially rise to be a challenge to the radical materialist, atheist, reductionist system of the West. This is really the operating system of the British Empire. This is why so many of the philosophers that came out of the British Empire, David Hume, right, these kinds of people who were radical materialist atheists, really set the stage for the Royal Society's philosophy to dominate in the last several hundred years of academia. This is why Darwinism is taught everywhere in the world without question. Now, many professors do question it, but I'm speaking generally here. So this leads to what we call a postmodern imperialism. The postmodern empire is no longer committed to even the Enlightenment principles of transcendent ideals, of universal notions of rights and justice. It has undercut those as well, because there's no such thing as universal ideas, universal principles. There's no such thing as the abstract truths. There's only will to power. And so the modernist empire, the classical liberal empire, falls and submits to the nihilistic Nietzschean approach, the Übermensch, the will to power. That's why the establishment says and can say competing, contradicting narratives from week to week. Because truth is whatever the establishment dictates it is. Right? It's not submitting to anything else. Don't go anywhere. We're going to explain this.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperG.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperG.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Lecture that I did last night over on YouTube covering the liberal imperium, the clash of ideologies and the preceding ideologies that led us to this present day clash. Now, we were talking about how the Cold War was a kind of dialectic between Western capitalism or monopoly capitalism, really. It's not really the classical free market capitalism. It's a robber baron monopoly capitalism over against the collectivist view of the, you know, Eurasian communism or collectivism that was actually exported to the West, by the way, as a weapon of cultural warfare and revolution. Now, the exportation of Bolshevism and communism to Russia and to Eurasia was for the purpose of destroying, as we said, those regimes, collectivizing the wealth, transferring it offshore to private banks and so forth as a means of control. And we saw, of course, the same situation with the Cold War, as we said, on the ground. Of course, there's a lot of people really fighting this, what Brzezinski called a Manichaean dialectic, right? A managed dialectic between East and West, good guy, bad guy. That was very much hyped up for the purpose, I believe, of erecting what would become the technocracy. So the Cold War allows us to make all these advances, right, in technology, computing, cryptography, that will put in the infrastructure that will lead to the Great Reset, right, the Skynet technocratic order. So the Cold War was one of the stages or the steps towards that long-term goal. And we were talking about the operating system of the West, the philosophy, the ideology that clashes with, in the 20th century, the competing ideologies of postmodern imperialism, atheism, materialism, process philosophy. I know that a lot of people in the West said they believed in God, but the operating system itself was really just atheistic at the top. So Anglo-empiricism, evolutionary philosophy, flux, revolution, that is the operating system that ended up clashing with the rival empires in the 20th century, the Austro-Hungarian and Russia. And so Russia, according to Quigley, had to be stopped because it represents an older operating system of Orthodox Christianity. Now, of course, the last 100 years of revolution in Russia did a lot to damage and destroy the influence of Orthodox Christianity in Russia, and by extension also Orthodoxy in the Ukraine too. Now, the reason that matters is because if Russia emerges out of the Cold War as a power that intends to resurrect or maintain some of that older Orthodox Christian ethos, then it becomes a problem for the West, you see, and for NATO. So the question there is not so much about Putin himself's motives. We can't really know people's motives. It's hard to know that reading all this flurry of media propaganda. But whether Putin's motives are correct or false or whatever, sincere in terms of his promotion of Orthodox Christianity and the symbolism of the Russian Empire and the Tsar and all this kind of stuff, I don't know that. But what I can do is try to judge the objective facts and the way that Brzezinski and people like this who had a huge role in destroying, bringing down the Soviet Empire, the way he speaks of this and what he said about it. And he said that the Ukraine would be crucial to control because it is a kind of it's the linchpin upon which Russia has to influence Europe. So if you want to cut off Russia to influence Europe away from NATO and away from the U.S., you would have to control the Ukraine. That was Brzezinski's idea. So Brzezinski said, it is crucial then in the Ukraine and all the Soviet bloc countries to peel that away from the influence of Russia and Putin. And so that's what's been going on for the last 30 years. And you just heard that Greg Reese report where he was talking about what I was going to get into, the notion of color revolution. In the early 80s, this began in those Soviet bloc countries as Reagan eventually in the 80s, he moves a lot of intelligence and espionage works out of the domain of military and out of the domain of the CIA and even into privatized groups. So you have a privatized intelligence network that can use cover of things like NGOs and think tanks and foundations. And that's where you get this color revolution model. And at that time, Soros was kind of partnered with the CIA to go and do this stuff in these former Soviet bloc countries. And what they did was soft power, where you influence nation states and existing regimes to be allied with you, right, through anything that might that could be money. It could be culture. Culture warfare is part of soft power. And that's different or distinct from hard power, right, warfare. And so the model of using soft power was done for a long time. In the 90s, they were putting money into the Ukraine, what was called the Orange Revolution. That was all engineered by Soros and the National Endowment for Democracy, all these different NGOs and think tanks that were at the behest of or the cover for the what the CIA used to do. So you got the Orange Revolution. It didn't really work, but they did finally get their coup in 2014. And so from 2014 to now, you've had many, many thousands of Russians killed in that eastern Ukraine region, right, over this issue and over trying to peel away the Ukraine from Russian influence in the sphere of Russia because it's such a key location. In fact, in World War II, Hitler was very intent on promoting the peeling away of Ukraine. That was a strategy that Hitler used. That's why, partly why, there's so many neo-Nazi-minded people in the Ukraine to this day. And they're still being used right now and funded and aided by the West as a geopolitical chess piece and a tool. And so that's really the context of what's going on. And that's why the provocations and the continual poking of the bear, so to speak, is what led to the reaction of Russia, the ignoring of the of NATO's promise not to expand and so forth. Right. That was all done on intentionally to provoke this conflict. And that's because the idea here is ultimately to get probably Putin bogged down and probably try to wear him out and to destroy Russia. Again, not because we're sitting here trying to figure out whether Putin's a good guy or a bad guy. In geopolitics, it's power relations and objective questions. We can't really figure out everybody's motives, whether they really believe Christianity or not. Regardless, whether it's a tool or whether he really believes it, from the globalist NATO elite perspective, you have to not allow any potential challenger. Brzezinski wrote about this many, many times in his books. No potential challenger can be allowed to arise in Eurasia at all. And so that's why Putin is a problem from the perspective of the Western elites. Because any strong man that would arise with any even tenuous connection to the notions of tradition or the notions of authority have to be destroyed. And that's the logic of the appearance of Western democracy and democratic liberalism, is that it must destroy anything like that, because that is a challenge to the logic of the Western liberal neoliberal order, you see. That's what's going on here. It is ultimately a clash of ideological views, and that's why it's not even necessarily about the Ukraine anymore. The same people that supported all the coup stuff have just, in 1 week, automatically changed over into being supporting the Ukraine. And so it's a global conflict because it's a global clash of rival ideological systems. And that's why in the speech, Putin referenced things like the gender and biological identity attack, right? Because he knows, and the patriarch of the Russian church has said the same thing for the last several years, that the ideological battle, the toxic culture battle that's going on with the promotion of those things is a form of cultural warfare. Right. Remember, soft power it also includes that kind of stuff. Right. Cutting off peepees. That's part of the cultural toxic warfare. It is an exported warfare ideology. And so that's why it has led to, that's one of the many reasons that has led to this. There's other reasons as well. Resources in eastern Ukraine, right? Well, it's a mineral rich, resource rich area. That's another part to play in this. And so it's a battle over ideology ultimately. And power, right? All of those things go together. Don't go anywhere. We'll get into this more when we come back.
It's hard to believe that we're already into March 2022. And in the month of February, we had a very popular sale that was going of our flagship product, X3. It has all three types of the amazing iodine your body needs for every electrochemical cellular activity in your body, your immune immune system, your stamina, your libido, so much. And the majority of the population in the world is iodine deficient. This is the very best iodine out there. So we had it on sale 50% off, but we sold more than half of what we have. Or is it going to come in for a long time? So I took it back to full price. And I was just thinking, you know what? We need the funds in now to stay on air. Plus, this is a great product everybody needs. So to incentivize folks out there that have been on the fence to get X3 and experience it yourself and support the broadcast, I'm going to keep it at 50% off until it sells out. Get X3 right now exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were talking about the Cold War setting and how we got to where we are in this dialectical conflict. And how, according to Brzezinski's model, right, this the famous technocratic Cold War strategist that basically set in motion that arc of crisis model where you would destabilize all the Soviet satellites in order to make them amenable to the West. And then you use that NGO model, that soft power model, to prep the people for the eventual regime change that the CIA would manufacture or cause. via their human rights NGO cover. And so that's what we've seen really in the last several years with these kinds of conflicts and regime change operations, is that color revolution model And Brzezinski, of course, pointing out that that Ukraine is crucial to the control of Eurasia, right? It's the heartland, and this goes back to Lord Alfred Mackinder's British imperial model of the way to control the world is to control the Eurasian heartland. Other people disagree with that. They say, no, it's the Rimland. But regardless, for a lot of the time of World War II and up into the Cold War, the heartland theory of the British Empire also dominated in the Pax Americana. And according to Brzezinski, that's why you have to control on the chessboard the heartland. And so to do this, right, this is what helps contain Russia. But it looks more and more like the global elite due to the potential rise of anything that could suggest a symbolic figure like a Putin or something like this, or Russia or Orthodoxy as a challenge to Western Anglo-empiricism. It's like it's an empiricist imperialism, if you catch my drift here in terms of philosophy. Anything that could challenge that has to be neutralized and destroyed, and that's precisely why we've seen in the last 20 years such an anti-Russian hyping up in the media. It's because the Western ethos is now committed to a complete will to power philosophy that evolved out of their universalist notions from the Enlightenment, of universal principles of the Enlightenment and so forth. But if evolutionary philosophy is true and pragmatism are true, then you can see that there's actually no principles that actually exist. Principles are also subject to evolution, and thus the principles evolve to be whatever the power structure says they are. It is a pure will to power. Postmodern imperialism is what we actually have in the West. And that's the logic of the monopoly capitalist neoliberal power. That's it must commit that. It must do that because of the logic of its own system. That's what it dictates. And so democratic capitalism is not even really a thing. It is a neoliberal, as we said, postmodernism. And that's why identity now must be destroyed. Identity is broken down. It doesn't exist. It's not just that you're an atomized individual. Now the individual must be divided. There is no individual anymore. Identity itself is now a consumer product which you can purchase. You can now be, you can purchase whatever biology you want to be, whatever ideology you want, right? You can be whatever you want. And that's why the metaverse will be a completely postmodern attack on reality itself. Right. It will allow you to be duped into, deluded into believing that you are the dragon flying around in, you know, Zuckerberg's metaverse. Right. It is an ultimate form of delusion that is the logical outcome of the nihilistic revolutionary ethos that the West has adopted, unfortunately. And so this delusion, the simulacrum, will become the reality, as the famous philosopher Jean Baudrillard said. So, in order to understand all of this, it's also important to understand the rise of Homo economicus, because that's not a pejorative. That's an actual term going back to philosophers and geopolitical thinkers like Oswald Spengler, who pointed out that whether you're a monopoly capitalist or whether you're a revolutionary socialist Marxist, the underlying presupposition about man in that system is that he is an economic object. And so the man as a purely economic object then becomes eventually subject to a universal debt-based system. And the governing structures of the last, well, actually you could argue most economic systems in history have kind of been debt-based. There are some anomalies that don't fit that example. But especially in the last 100 years with what Quigley talked about in Tragedy and Hope, the banking elite were really the ones that set the stage and ran the show, you could say, for the 20th century and for the world wars. And the purpose of the world wars, well, they had many purposes, but one of those purposes is basically in debt the other nations, to put everyone into debt slavery. And that's the easiest way to control the other countries. And that's why America has such a gigantic debt. That's why there have been so many derivatives bubbles and this kind of stuff, that they're really just printing the currency. They're inflating the currency, destroying the purchasing value on purpose to explode the existing system. And so my concern is that what they're going to do with the situation in Ukraine is, as we all know, they're going to pin all the blame on Russia, and this can then lead to some sort of wider conflict that the global elite could then say, whatever bad happens, it's the fault of Russia, right? So think of Putin as like the new Trump, right? And it doesn't matter whether you liked or don't like Trump. He's being put forward as this global Trump figure now that is the basis for any wild thing that will occur. Cyber Polygon, you know they're going to blame, oh, the Russian hackers have Cyber Polygon attacked everywhere. You know, America's power grid is shut down because Putin, right? And at the same time, we can read these documents like the NATO Cognitive Warfare Strategy, right, which literally says to mind control the population of the world. That's what the NATO Cognitive War, the people doing the stuff in Ukraine, right, NATO, right, their cognitive warfare strategy says brainwash the population as the, that's your enemy target. Tell anybody in the populations of the world that disagree with the official narratives that they're now terrorists. That's what it says. You disagree, you're a terrorist. The nation states must enact policies that reflect this NATO position. And by the way, this was what was the Canadian government was using. They were using the NATO cognitive warfare strategy document for scaring the crap out of everybody into accepting all the CUFID measures. The Canadian government openly said that. We're using the NATO cognitive warfare strategy to scare the crap out of everybody into accepting all the COVID CUFID measures. And it's not real. It was a hyped up pandemic. I'm saying that the fear that all what they blew it out of proportion is not real. I'm not saying there wasn't any illness. There were people getting sick, right? But I'm saying that the narrative that the Canadian government put out was a completely concocted psychological warfare narrative. And by design, they said that so that anyone that disagreed with it is now a potential terrorist. And they're going to do the same thing with this present scenario. They're already doing it with all the massive censorship, that if you question the incoherent babble of Western media at all, you're automatically Putin bot, Putin shill, terrorist, right? And so the point then again, as Greg Reese put in his report, was that the strategy of when you sign on with NATO is that you now become a debt slave, and now you get all of the Western toxic ideology. That's part of the package deal. Coke, Pepsi, abortion, vaccines, right? Gender reassignment. That's all part of the package deal that you get. And if you don't like that, then you're a terrorist. You see what's happening here is that there's a clear ideological conflict that's being formed because of the logic of Western postmodern imperialism. It must enforce these, what you could say, are basically satanic agendas. And it's not a question of good guy, bad guy, right? That doesn't make Putin a good guy. I view him as a realpolitik, right? Like he's a real world politician, much like Trump was. So Trump did good things, Trump did bad things, right? But he represents a clash with, even if he's just purely a symbolic figure, of classic Christianity, which cannot admit or affirm those things, you see. So that's why this is becoming a global conflict, even though it's actually just an area of Ukraine. Right. We're being told now that this could lead to a World War III. And again, remember, Klaus warned us that there will be a cyber pandemic that will come that will dwarf everything that we saw in COVID. Right. And everybody, it's just so clear that if this occurs, we've already seen a bunch of cyber attacks in the last 2 weeks as a result of this conflict. If that occurs, we already know who they're going to say is behind the cyber pandemic. They're going to say it's Russia, right? The World Economic Forum just deleted Putin's page from the World Economic Forum. They condemned his actions, as has all of the rest of the Anglo-American establishment condemned these actions. So just expect that if it comes. I don't know if it's coming. I have no idea. I'm just speculating here, but that would be a logical conclusion. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get into this further.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were discussing the ideological conflict between East and West and how while there were many noble people, sure, that fought, my uncle fought in the Cold War on the side of the West, and he was involved in anti-Russian espionage operations. And so I don't have any, you know, I'm not here as a shill for Putin or anything like that. But the point is that the ethos that a power block has can eventually evolve into something worse and something worse and something even worse, right? We can have civilizational level collapse. And that's the danger that we're seeing here, that we have a Malthusian elite that pose a danger to the entire world. And I think that, again, setting aside the issue of Putin's motives, Russia at least understands that. And that's why we have the, you know, the bombing, for example, that was confirmed of these various bio labs that were working on, you know, level four, dangerous, bio warfare release scenarios that could be done potentially against Russia. That's why those were bombed, by Russia. I even met, there's a great analyst, her name's Diliana. I forget her last name, but she had exposed this some years ago, and she has some lectures that you can find on YouTube where she gets into those bio labs that were there and the potential for race-specific bioweapons being created. And so that's part of the motivation, right, why those areas were bombed. That has now been confirmed. And so when we learn that type of stuff, that information, then we start to realize that, well, there's more to this story, right? It's not just an aggressive madman, Putin, who, like Rasputin or something, is going crazy and just invading countries. That's the narrative of the West, right, the Western media. And now there's a lot more to this story, and that's what we're trying to do here is get the setting here to get the big picture. And I'd also like to recommend my good friend, Father Peter Hears. He did a two-hour lecture on his YouTube channel, Orthodox Ethos, from a Christian perspective, kind of giving his take. And he doesn't, he's not trying to take sides in the sense of good guy, bad guy, but looking at it and saying, hey, when these kinds of wars happen, it's not accidental that this is in Russia and Ukraine, two countries that have the highest abortion rates, right? Russia and Ukraine, I think, are in the top 10 for abortion rates in the world. And partly that is partly due to the 100-year-plus years, right, that they had under Sovietism, under communism, which promoted that idea, right? So I'm not trying to blame the existing. I know it takes time to emerge from those dangerous, toxic ideologies, and they're still in the process of emerging from that. But it does look like with, you know, Putin allocating so much money to rebuilding churches, even if it's just symbolic or for show, it's still occurring in a way that the West sees as something that could potentially be a problem. And in fact, many geopolitical strategists from NATO, from the West, have pointed out the danger, so-called, of the Christianity of Orthodoxy that is being promoted by Putin, the danger of Orthodoxy in Ukraine. And that's why the CIA, through the Jesuit universities like Fordham, were promoting so much of a counter church that they set up in the last several years in Ukraine. It's known as the Ukraine Schism. And you have the Ecumenical Patriarch of the Orthodox Church recognizing these schismatics because he's essentially was told to by the State Department to do this. So the State Department, CIA, literally set up a fake Orthodox Church in the Ukraine. And that's partly to split, again, not just the country geopolitically speaking from the influence of Russia, but also to split it ideologically from the influence of Russia, so that it's not under the influence of Orthodox Christianity. So there's a lot of problems in those countries. Right? I'm not trying to set up this idealistic scenario where we have, again, a good guy, bad guy, right? That's the Marvel soy boy approach of the West. All these people on Twitter, they think it's good guy, bad guy. It's a lot more complicated than that. You have to know, you know, the history of the Cold War. You have to know books like Tragedy and Hope. You have to know what Brzezinski talks about. And Brzezinski, I think in Strategic Vision back in 2012, said that all this would be happening in the Ukraine, that there would be this coup, there would be this, takeover in the Ukraine, because again, that is that's the key to the Eurasian heartland, to control the heartland. So that's why this is happening. That's why this is so crucial. That's why NATO can't let Russia have Ukraine or Moldova or any of those other countries, because that would lead to an influence in Europe. And that has to be cut off, because that's still the Brzezinski model, the Brzezinski strategy, again, echoing that heartland theory of the British Empire. So that's what's going on. And again, there's still Russia, if there is an authentic resurgence of Christianity, it's still emerging out of, you know, the 100 years of atheism, communism. You know, there's not a high church attendance in Russia. It's growing, but it's not like it would have been, you know, prior to the Bolshevik Revolution. So they're still coming out of this, and they're struggling to get out from under the global debt-based style system that looted Russia in the 90s. If you don't know about this, there's actually congressional inquiries into when the Soviet Union fell, a lot of the corrupt KGB generals that basically looted the country together with people from Harvard, Larry Summers and so forth. They just stole billions of dollars from Russia when it collapsed. They put the asset in Yeltsin. He was a Western asset put in there on purpose to be a puppet. And so that's why they have struggled for so long. They've been under this intense attack and psychological warfare, real warfare, right, for the last century from the West, including Bolshevism. So that's the context. You have to understand that to really understand the totality that's going on here. Now, how does this fit into the big picture, as we said, of Great Reset and technocracy and transhumanism? Well, Klaus in the World Economic Forum, for example, as I said recently, came out condemning Russia, condemning Putin, condemning all these actions. And again, I think that's because it's what they, Russia represents. It's not because Russia matches up to some perfect Christian society or something like that. It's the remnants of a Christian civilization in Christendom that's still there. Christendom has basically been completely eradicated this ghost of Christianity, you could say, this idea has been completely eradicated from Europe. It's in the process of being completely eradicated from America, even though mostly, American Christianity is probably Baptist, evangelical, and the next would be Catholic. So even that, the remnants of that are quickly being decimated. And that's because the global elites want that, because as we've covered, right, in about 50, 60 writings of the elite, what's the main thing standing in the way to the global technocracy, according to the elites? Christianity. They all say this across the board, because Christianity promotes the idea of family values, being fruitful, having offspring, morals, objective morality, the Ten Commandments. All those things are anathema and a stumbling block, a roadblock to the implementation of a Nietzschean Ubermensch top-down technocracy that destroys and kills most of the planet. The Malthusian ideology is in direct clash ideologically with just even the most basic ideas of what Christianity is, even evangelical, Catholic, Orthodox, right? None of those groups can admit the basic principles of what technocratic dialectical materialism and thus this sort of Luciferian impetus. So I think that really in the background, the real power structure behind the postmodern imperialism is actually Luciferian ideology. But most people don't believe that. Maybe just an inner core actually believe that, that they're going to transcend and unite with computers and become gods, right? That's the cult of Silicon Valley and the cult of the tech elite. That's what they believe. The inner core of what now represents the Anglo-American establishment or the postmodern imperium believes that, I think. And they thus feel the need and the impetus to implement globally the Great Reset, which is the next phase, the starting over. Who taught that? The Jacobins, the Illuminists, that was their philosophy. They even had in their calendar year zero, because for the revolutionary Illuminists in the French Revolution, you have to destroy the existing Christian culture, right? It's not a question of whether it was a perfect Christian culture. They don't care about that. Anything that has the ghosts and remnants of Christianity must be destroyed to start over with a great reset. And that's literally what they did. If you want to understand Klaus and these people, they're not really communists. They might utilize communist ideology, philosophy, but they're all like super rich. But isn't it funny that super wealthy people always adopt these communist socialist philosophies? Why is that? Because it's a control mechanism. That's why. It's a system of control, browbeating people, and ultimately depopulating. So they have the Malthusian ideology combined with the revolutionary ethos of the Illuminists, the year zero guys, right? The Jacobins. Combined with Malthus, combined with Darwinism, combined with tech. And that is just a recipe for disaster. And it cannot but lead to, now I don't want there to be a world war, but it doesn't seem to me how it cannot lead to that due to the logic of that system, that there must be this ideological clash between something that is purely satanic and something that is not fully perfectly Christian, but at least just the remnants of Christianity, you could say. And that's why it's a global conflict between spiritual ideologies. Go watch Father Hears' lecture on the reasons for war, and go subscribe to my lecture, watch that lecture on postmodern imperialism and the ideological predecessors to the present crisis, where I go deeper into this. So if you want to get my books, you can go to jasonalsis.com. You can subscribe there. You can get in the shop signed copies of my books, where I cover film symbolism and how all this comes up in movies, and also support the show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.